All right, look there at verse 57. Verse 57. Thou art my portion, O Lord. I have said that I would keep thy words. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. The bands of the wicked have robbed me, but I have not forgotten thy law. At midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. I am a companion of all them that fear thee, and of them that keep thy precepts. The earth, O Lord, is full of thy mercy. Teach me thy statutes.
Thank you, Brother Chandler. The psalmist said in verse number 62, that at midnight I will rise to give thanks unto thee because of thy righteous judgments. Now back in Bible days, today midnight for many of us is bedtime. And many of us just getting to bed around 12:30, at least I do sometimes. I work nights for too long to ever adjust out of that. But in Bible days, midnight meant the middle of the night. People would go to bed soon after dark, get up at the crack of dawn. And so midnight was well into the night for them. And yet the psalmist said that at midnight I will rise to give thanks. I believe that midnight represents for us the darkest time. Only halfway through. It's still dark. It might be scary. It represents the dark times of life and the difficult times of life. I think this message tonight kind of dovetails with this morning's. I don't know why God put both of them on my heart for the same Sunday. But I do hope that they'll be a blessing to you, because these times come to all of us. These times of darkness, these times of difficulty. No matter how well ordered your life, no matter who you are, what your plans are, or how sincere you are, even when you serve God and love Him with all your heart, there are midnight times. Just difficult, dark, hard times to go through. And the psalmist said at midnight, even in the darkest hour, I'm still going to get up and I'm going to give thanks. And because your judgments are just as righteous at midnight as they are at noonday. And so tonight I want you to consider some midnight times in the Christian's life and what they mean to us. Now, not all of these are negative. Some of these are positives in the Christian life. And I hope that you'll have your Bible open and follow along with me. Go with me to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 5. And we see that midnight can be a time of great prayer. Luke chapter 11 and verse number 5. Jesus is teaching His disciples how to pray. And verse number 5, He illustrates the importance of praying with importunity. He says in verse 5, He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight? And say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey is come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Now, folks, midnight is a great time to spend time in prayer. Aren't you glad that you don't have to worry about whether God is asleep and you might wake him up at midnight? For your God never sleeps or slumbers, amen? And in the middle of the night when there's no one else you can call or talk to or that can help you, you have a direct line to God the Father and can come boldly into the throne of grace. Now, I'm a night person. I'm a night owl. Sometimes if I don't get to sleep by midnight, it kicks in and I may not get to bed till 3 or 4 in the morning. I just am wide awake as you are at 10 in the morning. And many times I like to spend time in prayer, and sometimes I like to drive around and pray. And I just find that midnight, the late hours of darkness, when there's no one else around and it's just me and the Lord, are very precious times of prayer. And I think that next time you can't sleep, instead of jumping on Facebook and telling everyone you can't sleep, maybe you ought to get your Bible out and spend some time in prayer. Because when your heart is burdened and you are distressed or feeling down or you have a great need in your life, there is someone who has given you access to His throne room. Take the time at midnight to spend in prayer and be importune about it. Pray and pray and pray and pray until God answers you. He says, this friend, if you showed up at his house at midnight, knocked on his door, everyone's asleep. He says, my kids are in bed. You're going to wake up the kids. I am asleep. Go away. Call me in the morning. But because he kept knocking and kept asking, he finally got up and gave him all the bread that he needed. Hey, midnight is a great time to pray. Well, midnight can be a time of great faith also. Go with me to Acts 27. Acts chapter 27. Midnight can be a time of great faith. Acts 27 and verse number 27. Now you're familiar with this story. It's Paul is sailing and he's caught in Euroclydon in the great storm in the Mediterranean. And they've been tossed about. And now in verse number 27, this is the end of the storm for them. Verse 27 says, but when the 14th night was come, can you imagine a storm for 2 weeks? 14 nights of this? When the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. Now understand, folks, they're out on a wooden ship. They can't just point their spotlights around and see where they are. These men are in the middle of the night. It's dark out. They deemed that they were drew near to some country. They sounded, verse 28, and found it 20 fathoms. That means they dropped a line overboard with a weight and felt when it hit the bottom. They pulled, they counted the knots and found they were 20 fathoms deep. It says when they'd gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. What does that tell you? They're running out of ocean. Amen. They're about to crash into land. And verse 29, then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. They could not see, so they sounded out, they cast out their anchors, and they wished for the day. And Paul was the only one on board that had faith that God would see them through. And God, by the way, Paul was the voice of cheer among those sailors. Now these men were sailors, they were used to being in control of their ship. But the storm for 2 weeks had stripped their control away, and all they could do was just stop and let it go. You know, sometimes as Christians, we need to let go and let God. You're not always going to be in control. I like to be in control. Don't you? You like being out of control? I like when things fit into their nice cubby holes, exactly the way they're supposed to. I like when things run on schedule. I like when things work out the way I planned. Amen? They never do, but I like it. I like the thought of it. Amen? And it's nice to be in control and to feel that things are going smoothly. But you know, sometimes life throws us some things that are simply out of our control. And all we can do is simply throw some anchors out the stern of the ship and just trust God to keep us off the rocks. And trust God to see us through. Let the midnight hour be a time of great faith where you trust God. You cast out some precious promises and cast out the anchor of God's providence and the anchor of God's provision and the anchor of God's promises. And you trust in those times of darkness and let midnight be a time of faith. Well, let me give you a third thought. Midnight can be a time of great danger. You know, the middle of the night's dangerous because of the presence of hungry predators. You know, most predators are nocturnal, both two-legged and four-legged. They use the darkness to conceal their intentions and their attacks. And as I preach Wednesday night, we're still being hunted by a roaring lion, aren't we? And he loves to hunt under the cover of darkness. Back in 1898, a British railway company was laying track across Uganda and Kenya through the jungles. But something terrible began to happen because men were disappearing out of the camps every single night. And they would find these paw prints, and they realized, and some finally saw, that lions were coming into their camp under the cover of darkness while men slept, and dragging them away. They didn't even eat all of them. Some of them just pulled away and killed. 135 men were killed, according to Patterson, the man who eventually killed the lions. And under cover of darkness, they would wrap their tents, or put brambles around their tents, build barricades, build bonfires, didn't matter. Every night the lions came in and got somebody, until Patterson came along and killed both. Turns out there was two male lions. Neither one of them had a mane, just a natural aberration. And yet they became man-eaters, and they attacked under cover of darkness. And Satan loves to use the midnight hours to conceal his intentions and his attack upon your life. When Jesus was entering his midnight hour, getting ready for the cross, he said in Luke 22, "When I was daily with you in the temple, you stretched forth no hands against me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Folks, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Y'all with me tonight? There are powers present in darkness. I believe they're running a whole lot of stuff in our world today. And you and I as Christians, we have to be careful that in dark times in our lives, we don't let our guard down and stop wrestling and withstanding and resisting the wiles and onslaught of Satan. Midnight hours can be very dangerous times. That's the time of predators. It's also the danger, or has the danger, of strong temptation. Jesus said in John 3 that this is the condemnation, that light is coming to the world, that and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. What do men think? Men think that if they do things under cover of darkness, no one sees them. But someone sees everything. And yet Christians think, even Christians sometimes think, that because they're in the dark, that they're getting away with it. And if I can just conceal my actions. And so times of darkness can be a time of strong temptation. I can get away with this. No one sees this. No one sees what I'm looking at. No one sees what I'm downloading. No one sees what's on my phone. Because I'm in the darkness. You have to beware. And then when you go through a tough time that's a dark time in your life, you have to be careful that you don't get away from the light and get into a position where you end up in sin. Well, there's too many times that Christians have gone through difficult times and allowed that to open a door of strong temptation in their lives. So you got to be careful. It's a time of temptation. There's also the danger of lost direction. For Jesus said in John 12:35, that he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. Sometimes at midnight hours we lose our sense of direction. Christians have a tendency to get off track. They tend to wander into places they never would have gone if it hadn't been a midnight hour. Folks, that's why you need the light of God's Word, especially during difficult times. There's the danger of stumbling. For Jesus said in John 11, if any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of the world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth because there is no light in him. There's the danger of stumbling. You got to be careful, folks, when you're in a midnight hour, not to start making life-changing decisions when you can't see straight. When you're beat up a little bit, and there's double everything, you don't need to start making life-changing decisions. You need to heal up a little bit, maybe. And make sure that you're not going to stumble because it's a dark and difficult time of life. So midnight can be a time of danger. But number four, let me point out that midnight can be a time of praise. Let's go to Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16 and verse 23. Here's Paul and Silas. Silas was like us. He thought, Paul, what have you got me into? We were doing okay over in Asia Minor. You dragged us over into Europe. Now we're in prison. But Silas didn't have that attitude. Silas was a faithful man. In verse 23 it says, when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who having received such a charge, thrust them in the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Can you picture them at midnight? Folks, there probably wasn't a ray of light anywhere in that room. They're in the inner prison, no lights, no electricity. They're in the darkest recess. They're sitting there, and their feet are in the stocks, their backs are bloody and lacerated. It's midnight, they can't get comfortable, they can't sleep. There's probably rats scurrying around. There's other prisoners groaning and moaning and complaining. And you know, just go to a prison sometime and listen. It's not a pleasant place. And these men, these Christians, at midnight, instead of sitting there sucking their spiritual thumbs and bemoaning their calling in life, sat there, and Paul probably said to Silas, Silas, it's midnight. Midnight's a good time to pray, isn't it? Didn't Jesus say we could pray at midnight? And they prayed. I'd like to have heard that prayer. And then Silas, well, Paul, praying sure made me feel better. Why don't we sing? Let's sing a psalm. Can you imagine that duet? Sitting in prison? If it had been us, we'd have sang, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. That's what we sing in our family when someone starts to complain. In our family, sometimes I'll joke with the kids and something will go wrong. I'll say, well, guys, I'm warning. I feel a whine coming on. Feel a whine coming on. But they didn't whine. They didn't complain. They prayed. Can you imagine them giving thanks? We're to pray with thanksgiving. Thank you for the situation we're in tonight. Thank you that we're alive. Thank you that it's not any worse than it is. And they prayed and they sang. And when they were singing, the other prisoners heard them. Well, that's a different atmosphere, isn't it? These guys are different. They're singing praise to the Lord. And probably the jailer heard them too. Doesn't say that, but I'm just guessing. And God heard their prayers, and God did a miracle there at midnight. I'm telling you, folks, that you may not always feel like praising God, but it's always right to praise God. We all have it better than we deserve. And sometimes you just gotta have to start. Amen. Sometimes I like to come in here. I have the privilege of access. And I like to come in here sometimes in the morning and just take my hymn book and just stand here and sing a hymn or two. You know, I want to open my mouth and praise the Lord. And Christians, when you're going through a difficult time, that's a great time for you to stop and to pray and to give God praise. Well, let me give you another thought. Let's go to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. Midnight can be a time of great anticipation. Matthew 25 and verse number 1. Matthew 25 verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. That pictures those who have oil have the Holy Spirit. They've been saved. Those with no oil, they don't have the Holy Spirit. They're not saved. They say they know Jesus, but they're not really saved. You know, there's a lot of folks who say they know Jesus, but they're not saved. On the inside, there's nothing there. It's all outside. And they say they're waiting for the same bridegroom, but they're not ready. And verse 5 says, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Verse 6, and at midnight there was a cry made. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And of course, this is a picture of the rapture. And when Jesus comes, those who are saved will be ready. Now, some of us might be asleep, but we're still going to be ready because we're saved. But those who are foolish, they're going to try to run off. But you know, the rapture takes place so fast, there's no time to get saved when the rapture is taking place. You either got it saved beforehand or you're not going to get saved at all. And so, at midnight, there's anticipation because, hey, none of them were expecting Jesus to come, or the bridegroom to come, but He came at midnight. And those that were ready got to go in with Him. Now, I don't need to tell you that some things certainly can seem dark. And I mean, it could be for you personally, it could be for you financially, it could be for you health-wise. could be for you just looking around our country and around the world in general. Things are certainly dark. I said this morning that, you know, it kind of struck me that my whole pastoral ministry, except for 1 9-month period, has been in a recession and during a time of war. I kind of get jealous of the guys back in the 90s that had money all over the place and, you know, and everyone was doing great, building buildings and doing all sorts of neat stuff. And, you know, we've all lived through that, haven't we? It's affected you, it's affected us. And yet, when I see things getting darker and darker, you see the homosexual movement, you see the corruption in churches, you see the false doctrines, the rise of cults and false religions, what that ought to say to us is, hey, it's dark, but there ought to be anticipation. Because there any second now could be the cry, the bridegroom cometh. And those of us who are saved get to go and meet Him in the air. How will you handle the midnights of your life? It can be a place of great temptation, but it can also be a place of great praise and prayer and faith and anticipation.